Well, you know what's funny is I've had a radical idea, and maybe it's because I'm in radio, but, you know, the airwaves belong to the public. It's why the FCC regulates them. All the money goes for ads on television, essentially. I've never understood why they can't simply allocate a certain portion of the public airwaves and say, oh, I'm sorry, big major broadcasters. Actually, you're going to have a few minutes for candidates to talk in equal increments.
And if they don't like it, they can give up their license and give it to somebody else.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I thought about it. It's like there should be no money involved. We have the medium available. The government could simply say, oh, yes, we regulate that stuff. And from now on, there's going to be some free stuff during election season. And you're only going to get this much of it. And that's that. And it's like end of day. No more money needed. And I've never heard anyone even propose that. These are our airwaves. Why are people paying for this stuff, you know?
Well, no, I think we want to propose this. And Pacifica could play a great role in this thing, which is, $10 million publicly funded, you know, here you go, whatever you want to do with it. And the rest becomes, you know, having to actually speak and, you know, and actual debates. And
right.
There's lots of ways the debates could go. Again, talking to, you know, conservative Bruce Fine, right-wing constitutional lawyer, but a great scholar. And he was running Ron Paul's campaign, which was deeply scary. I mean, I had to tell our progressive teammates, but nonetheless, a great scholar. And at CPAC, they did this one great thing, which is they had, you know, actual scholars who love to dress up as the founding fathers, but they're informed. So, you know, Bruce Fine is James Madison, and there's, you know, Patrick Henry being, you know, presented, and Thomas Jefferson, Tea Party guy was Thomas Jefferson. But they answered questions as though they were founding fathers about what would be your views on this. And there were not girls, but they're inviting me to come in as Abigail Adams, so I'm going to bring some spice into the thing.
Right on.
But as I heard their learned and pretty sober responses, I go, you know, this would be one cooler version of a debate to have actual scholars, you know, constitutional scholars dressed as the founding fathers and mothers. We've got to work that in there absolutely equally. You know, informed, you know, and you know, so the whole staging of the theater as an opportunity for the culture to clarify its guiding story, and this is where we do go ancient. The fact that this election, not every year but this year, happened on what's called True Halloween, which is as important to Indigenous people as equinoxes and solstices. It's the exact mid-season. And it happened at 7:14 p.m. East Coast time, so True Halloween was tonight. But it was always thought of mythologically as a time when the culture would invite in power to animate the desirable story. Going,
good.
Here's a template, here's a story we'd like you to animate, come on in. So, you know, we want to keep that going. But that's the essential impulse behind, the originating impulse behind art and theater and Stonehenge and all the places, all the standing stones where the sun would, you know, illumine the little painting at the back of the cave. What's going on there is humans going, animate this. Our desire is, this is our guiding story. So, in a way, radio is like the painting at the back of the cave, you know, and we get to provide going, come on in and let's animate this one.
Well, now we need to animate the Keystone XL pipeline and save the forest before they cut down any more of it. I think, you know, we need to strategically focus our attention on one thing after another to get the public awareness up to sufficiently, you know, take that energy into the next
might
arena.
Might even save our aquifer.
Yeah, well, again, like, you know, because we love Greg Palast, and I guess everybody had him on their shows about five or six times. But yes, you know, these crazy cartoon sociopathic satire figures that love their kind of super demon names. But the guy, I can't remember, maybe you can help me, Roy, but in Texas, mega right-wing funder, but who is even now planning to put nuclear waste on top of the Oglala Aquifer, just the kind of most insane, you know, sociopathy.
I mean,
And I think that's part of the dynamic now that we've, you know, we want to insource what we've been outsourcing, and that means we want to insource leadership. We've been outsourcing leadership to sociopaths who have no sense of kinship or effect. And at least on a symbolic, well, more than at least, and on a symbolic and literal and the right direction, we're inhaling our authority and going, no, we do not want to outsource leadership to sociopaths.
Yeah.
We can see effective leadership happening in Wolves and Cory Booker and, you know, I don't know if you guys have followed Cory Booker's tweets. Best use of social media, like, ever. You know, mayor of Newark, long before, but also in the storm, if you follow his tweets, people were tweeting him going, I have a two-week-old baby, I'm out of power, and he was like, I'll be right over right now with blankets and warmth and
See?
Baby formula.
I mean, that's leadership.
You know, and somebody else was, my grandmother needs it, I'm going there right now, or this is what you do, and it's like,
wow.
Very impressive, and also very impressive because there were some people who would spew hatred at him in these tweets, and he just didn't have time for it.
Yeah, well, because
like, you know, thank you very much. Moving right along.
Totally. Well, that is good leadership. You just ignore all the bad stuff and take care of real business and take care
right.
of people.
And,
yeah.
And he said, you know, bless you anyway, and I got stuff to do, and was funny. I got 99 problems, but you know, you being a dingbat is not one of them. So yeah, it was heartening. So
very.
Yeah, I think we have sufficient. The jackboot of sociopathy is no longer on the you know the throat of nature and life. There's still recovery. There's much to be done, but the crippling, the opening up of everything to drilling and droning, and that's where I also just want to bring in. You know, as you know, I'm the sort of mythic news department in a sense that, you know, but it is about the against all odds, that it isn't just humans. And even on the Chevron website, they admitted this, that, you know, friends of mine, you know, covering the Chevron drilling in the Arctic, which is a terrible, terrible, bad, bad, horrible, sociopathic, you know, thing to do. So that Chevron's putting up its drilling rigs and the relief ship isn't even there and they're violating all kinds of things. And friends who were there said everybody was following it like a reality show, and it's open water, and out of nowhere comes this giant ice sheet, dum dum dum, and heads directly for the Chevron drilling rig, just out of nowhere from the horizon, going num, 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 and we go, good ice sheet, we will work with you. And Chevron said, I guess not this year, goodbye. So you know, whether it's the storm or the ice or the whatever, you know, again a kind of mythological and activated willingness to cooperate, because all of nature is saying we got to either kill the humans or heal them. We'll try healing them first. But that idea of a kind of human humility, and that's why we also love so many of our ingenious teammates. Again, the founder of biomimicry, Janine Benyus, and we know that we are wealthy with ingenious and reverent solutions. You know, we're ready to implement a culture of reverent ingenuity. It's like, let's go. And it does take media, here we are, and it does take, you know, leadership, and it does take, you know, funding, but it also takes, you know, the animating that vision. Did you know about this cool thing? And here's this horrible thing, but here's ingenious solutions that are coming along and things that make us, you know, proud and humble about being willing to cooperate and acknowledge things. Acknowledge, you know, how dire things are, mm-hmm. the imbalance and the increase of storms. And
yeah.
the reason we need Gary Noll's survival thing is, you know, that hurricanes and, you know, as Roy knows over the many years I keep talking about, that nature's way of resolving conflict is a spiral.
Yeah.
When, you know, conflict comes together, it spirals, and that's kind of the Aikido we want to do in culture. But it also means, you know, when I was talking to kind of meteorological, you know, wise person, what do hurricanes want? He said they want peace. They're trying to resolve these huge conflicting forces,
mm-hmm.
much of which we've set in motion as a species, you know, and moved to the North Pole to dissipate it. And so the bigger the storms, these superstorms, the tornadoes, the superstorms, the, you know, huge, I mean, the East Coast took a terrible flooding, but at the same time, Pakistan evacuated 100,000 people out of the way of a giant megastorm that we didn't hear much about. And also, you know, enormous devastation in Cuba that we didn't hear a lot about, or the
mm-hmm.
Caribbean, you know, before Sandy Cassandra got to the East Coast. But we all become scientifically and mythologically informed to understand the bigger the storms is telling us, the bigger imbalance that we've set in motion. We are all complicitous in this thing. And we go, and yes, education. Something I wanted to say, why we need why we need everybody. We need the awakened imagination of everybody. Is at that same CPAC conference with Bruce Fein, there was a self-identified crazy woman Tea Party in the audience who said, because they were talking about no empire and no preemptive war, and she said, but Iran has nuclear weapons, and you know, are we going to just wait for them to take out three East Coast cities? And Bruce Fein, right-wing constitutional lawyer, was just very calm, and he said, well, here's why that's not true, you know, about the, you know. And then he said, and even if it were, the founding fathers determined that the greatest threat to the, you know, the experiment in the republic would be fear-mongering at home, that would be the greater threat.
Indeed.
than an external invasion. And it calmed this woman down. It sucked all the poison out of her, and she was clearly, like, kind of calm for the first time in years. And I realized we couldn't have done that. She needed that from him. She needed a constitutional lawyer to walk her through it, you know, somebody with whom she had a right-wing affiliation to just give her some sanity. So I go, well, there's the medicine man. Part of it, we need everybody. We need the sane conservatives to talk out down the crazy people, because we can do some, but not, you know. Anyway, so that idea of, you know, just opening it up to a conversing, a larger conversing about, you know, and what Obama did tonight. I mean, he said, he did stress, you know, we can agree on what across borders, that we want a safe life for all children. We can agree. He did a metaphysical thing. We can agree upon a desirable vision. Let's start with the desirable vision, and that's metaphysics 101, which is you start with the unifying vision, and then avenues of ingenuity and synchronicity open up that weren't apparent before. If we start with how, then everybody goes to war about, you know, well, then. But he went back to Dree his weird. You know, when I first heard him in 2004 and was like, whoa. You know, and doing his astrological chart, when this country was born, its Neptune, its vision, its soul was at 22 Virgo. And when Barack Obama was born, his Mars, his kind of animating vitality, is at 22 Virgo. Ron Paul's Venus is at 22 Virgo. I mean, there's a lot. But when I heard him in 2004, I go, okay, he's Marsing. He's animating the desirable vision of this country. And then, you know, he goes to prison, also known as being elected president. And there's the constraints and the, you know, a psychic and literal and appropriate and inappropriate attacks from every which way, and the huge cynical disappointment of his team. And so it makes this election even more of a miracle, you know, really. And his return, you know, and he didn't do any flary rhetoric, you know, throughout the whole thing. He was sort of, and he returned to that. And, you know, as Rachel Maddow actually pointed out, it was not just a repeat of his speech. There was a chunk of it that was exactly the same as 2004, a good one. But he updated the dream, and he brought forth the mythological again, and that is part of his job. And he, you know, on multiple levels, he's always been quoting, you know, one of my favorite folk heroes in the world, High John the Conqueror of the South, of New Orleans, who's the trickster redeemer who liberates even the tyrant. You know, and what Obama is often saying is we have to find a way out of no way. And that's the classic, you know, any voodoon practitioner would know that is the phrase that invokes High John. The whole phrase is, you know, find a way out of no way and hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. And, you know, that's what he said in his speech on race, and he brought up have to find a way out of no way. And for me, mythologically attuned, going, in the mystery play, this is someone we can work with. And the appropriate way to work with is to discourage, going, no, drones unacceptable, no, and we do not celebrate the death of anyone, really, even Osama bin Laden, we don't want to go that way. But we do encourage this, you know, and we're grateful for this direction. So I would like, you know, our team and in its engagement to be go, no, but yes over here, to everyone, you know, to Obama, but to all of us, you know, we go, no, yes, you know, again, invoking the dog whisperer that we want to be politician whisperers. We want to be calm and assertive, like, hey, no, put that down over here. Yes. You know, that we all be dog whisperer, politician whisperers, calm and assertive, and that you never correct a dog when you're upset. I'm still working on that, Stella Coyote. Because the dog thinks, you know, you're unstable, and if you were leader, that the pack would not survive. So I think that's, you know, what I've been aspiring to practice, and we all blow it, is that, you know, we all have our portable harumphitude composters, and we want to use that before we speak, because it, you know, again, like with the dog whisper. And it was also what was about engaging, you know, across borders. If we're not in a harumphitudinous, high dudgeon, self-indulgent, finger-waggy thing, but lucid in critique, it makes conversation and movement and spiraling, like nature teaches us, available. So.
Okay, well, do you have any final words to wrap up? Any final words or your blessing will be or whatever, Caroline?
Right. Well, that might have been it. Let's see. It's pretty late here over on the East Coast. But Summer, how delightful, and a wave to Geneva. And
yes, she's waving back at you. Thank you.
That's wonderful. And how wonderful that when I first met you and you said that, you know, you worked at Pacifica, and I go in a kind of local way because you're so hip, and you're like, no, the whole thing. I'm like, how did this happen? An appropriate leader was moved into this position. Truly, this network has legs or wings or a saint watching out for it. So that's great. I think.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Yeah, Pacifica has a great expanding creative ingenuity to be an agent of inviting the great ingenuity in the collective dynamic listeners.
Yeah.
And everyone out there in Los Angeles is full of people up all night who are really interesting.
Let's do more of that for the whole network all across the country, right?
Exactly. Definitely.
Okay, Caroline.
Well, thank you so much.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Caroline. And that was Caroline Casey, the visionary activist. And she does a program on KPFA in Berkeley, the Visionary Activist Show, at Thursdays at 2 p.m., KPFA in Berkeley, Thursdays at 2. We rebroadcast it on Something's Happening on Friday morning at 5 a.m. Friday morning, 5 a.m. to 6, the Visionary Activist Show. And her website is coyotenetworknews.com. for all information and all sorts of goings-on, coyotenetworknews.com, Caroline Casey. Summer, we're
right.
The only people who haven't dropped off the tree.
Yes, because we're hardcore. We're just hanging in there.
I'm wondering, should we, in order to make this sort of an election thing as it's supposed to be, look at some contests or
sure.
Somewhere soon?
I've been following them. I've been looking here. That's what these
okay.
smartphones are for.
In a major upset, Mitt Romney has won. This is KarlRove.com. Mitt Romney has won the election. They found 75 million votes in a garage.
But they did all in Ohio, right?
Yeah, in Ohio.
And a few in Florida.
No, in California, it was actually 58 to 39.7%.
They flipped all the computers
Barack
and we
over.
Suddenly became
yeah.
Republicans out here. I don't think so.
There's a million statewide contests, I think. The Senate, Dianne Feinstein beat Elizabeth Emkin, 60 to 39%. And the ballot measures.
Yep, they kind of haven't changed. You know, I've been watching as we've been
slowly.
Standing here talking with Carolyn and with Brad and Christine, and basically more precincts are reporting, but pretty much what we reported earlier.
There's been
earlier.
A couple flips. The temporary taxes to found education has flipped to yes.
You're kidding.
Yeah, 30. About 30 is 59% to 46%. It flipped. And then 31, the state budget, state and local government, no. 39 to 60,
says no. 32
is
still a
no. Politics contributions by to screw the unions is no.
You mean to screw the employees, don't you? But yeah,
well,
that's
the
no.
Unions.
It's going down to defeat. And the Mercury Insurance backed
trying their fifth time. to screw the insurance carriers.
They're just after everybody who drives, aren't they?
They blew it again.
Thank God.
Death penalty. We're still going to have the death penalty. 58% says we want to keep the death penalty. So it's kill them. And again, I think everybody in favor of the death penalty should report to San Quentin and get some.
Yep.
Then, without any, you know, I'm not angry at them or anything. Just they should partake of that which they wish to provide.
drink your own medicine, indeed.
Human trafficking, yes.
Resoundingly on that one.
81% for.
81%, yeah.
The three strikes law to reform it, yes.
And that's pretty
68%,
resounding, too.
That's
yeah.
great. Genetically engineered food labeling. The most important thing anybody could vote on in this whole election is it's been defeated. No labeling. We want to eat crap without knowing it. That's 53.9%.
That's what millions of dollars from chemical companies will do to your politics.
Because we've been told it would cost us $400 a year extra in our grocery bill, which is a lie.
And we'd rather die and have children who can't reproduce. But hey, other than that,
we have the children who grow up with hair in their mouth. Like those rats. Or
God
anyway.
Only knows what, because they don't know, because they're experimenting on us. We are one laboratory.
We
right
are
now.
The guinea pig.
We are.
Then a tax for education, 38 is no.
That's a no.
72 to screw the kids. and then a business tax for energy funding, yes, 59 to 40. And then redistricting state senate, yes. 72 to 27.
And locally, Measure B, the LA adult film condom use, is passing resoundingly. I guess people have decided that maybe it should be regulated like an actual business, and the workers ought to have some safety precautions. I'm not sure where OSHA was.
When you watch porn, you have to watch them put on rubbers on their.
Sorry, guys. Better than dead people, huh? So anyway, so that one's passing. Also, it looks like it's got plenty of support right at the moment.
Okay. So thank you, Summer, for staying up to talk with us do what is with this sort of election special wrap up philosophical analysis thing.
All right, it was very enjoyable. It was good to be here tonight with you, Roy. Thank you.
And that was Summer Reese, and she is the interim executive director of Pacifica Foundation. That's important. And we hope she saves us all. And you are listening to Something's Happening on KPFK Los Angeles. Coming up, we're going to hear the entire 3 hours of the brand new, never before broadcast, just having been finished, What to Do When Disaster Strikes by Gary Null. A step-by-step guide for earthquakes, never happen here. Solar storms, nah, it can happen. Floods, nah, it's a nuclear meltdowns, nah, we can. Or other emergencies, all of it, all 3 hours, never broadcast, just completed. And you'll hear it here on Something's Happening, KPFK Los Angeles.
Smiling face, look.